I thank you for that, Lord. Might we embrace who we are in Jesus? Might we come to that place of victory, Father? Might we no longer, Lord, be under the oppression of the evil one, Lord, but might we walk, Lord, in heavenly places. And Lord, I ask, Father, that you would speak to us now in Jesus' name. Amen. I would like to ask you to turn in your Bibles to the book of Ephesians. We're going to kind of take a little detour this morning. The Lord laid on my heart this scripture. And I think we are in a time when we need to come to grips with who we are in Christ and the authority that we have in Christ and our destination as we walk with Christ. And here in Ephesians chapter 2, in verse 4, we read, "But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he has loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." Those verses are rich and they're filled with power, and they give us a map, if you will, of what God has done and what God is doing in our lives. For there, that first verse, it says, "But God." And I would suspect that most of us in this place today have had that "but God" experience, where we're living a life apart from Jesus, going our own way, doing our own thing, living our own lives without respect to what God thought, or for that matter, what anybody else thought as well. But God, he stepped into our lives and he called us into relationship with himself, gave us the faith to believe, as we read a little bit later in this chapter, that we might come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Yesterday, we had an interesting encounter with a young man. We were on our way back from Pelican Bay, and we were in the process of ordering pizza at Wild River Pizza in Brookings. If you ever want to have a really good pizza, that's the place to go. Deli Delight. And Spuds, extra crispy. But this young man walked up, I don't know, 18 maybe, to the counter to serve us. And noted, we noticed a cross on his chest, small one, like metal pieces kind of welded together, kind of like we made for the kids at creation camp. And so we said, "So, are you a Christian?" And he looked at us. I think he was a little shocked. And he says, "I go to church and I believe in God." I said, "Oh, okay. So do you have a personal relationship with Jesus?" And he said, "Well, what do you mean?" And we said, "So have you ever prayed and invited Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sin and come into your life?" "No." "Well, that's something you might want to consider." And that's about as far as we could go at that particular point in time. But we need to know who we are in Christ. That young man did not know who he was in Christ because he wasn't in Christ. And so as we live our lives, we need to know that we are in Christ. We need to go back and realize when that "but God" moment happened with us. Because it tells us some amazing things there. He says, "But God, who is rich in mercy." Can you say amen to that? I can. I'm so thankful for God's mercy in my life. Not getting what I deserve, but rather what he's ordained to provide. "Who's rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us." And I love that. That because you see, elsewhere it tells us in the Bible that we were at war with God before Jesus. We were at enmity, it says, with him. We were actually shaking our fists spiritually and maybe physically in the very face of God. But not only is he rich in mercy, but he has a great love towards us because he wants us to come to relationship with him. And I marvel at that again and again and again. Every time I revisit, relive my life, if you will, that kind of fast forward. If you old, younger kids won't know this, but at 78 speed, you know, I don't, you probably don't know what records are, but if you know what records are, they were 33 speed, 45 speed, 78 speed. 78 speed was like fast forward on your DVR or whatever. And so we have this reminder of God's amazing mercy, of God's amazing love, because he set his love on us when we're at war with him. And he says, I have a better plan for you. I have a better plan. And it is always true. His plan is always better. And that's what we can tell people when we share with them about Jesus, about life and those things. You know, in the prison, those guys, they don't know anything but war. War in their souls, war in their minds, war in their communities. That's what they grew up with. That's what they know, war. But God's come to give them peace. God's come to be our peace. He is our peace, who has broken down every wall. And so we say, God, thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your love. God, thank you for your peace, because it says, even when we were dead in sin, might say dead man walking or woman, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved. A little preview of what's coming in the following verses. By grace you are saved. But he says there, the God who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, has quickened us, or made us alive. We're alive in Christ today because of what he did for us on the cross. I was a dead man walking, and so were many of you who came to know the Lord later in life. And all of a sudden, God shows up, but God shows up on the scene and he says, I have a job for you. Now, our name wasn't Abraham or Moses or Esther or Ruth. It was a lot of different names. Just say your own name in that sentence. God shows up and says, I have a job for you, Mark, but you need to know peace. You need to know restoration. You need to know reconciliation. You need to be able to say, Jesus is my Savior, and the God of heaven is my Heavenly Father. We need to be able to say that with confidence and strength. And because of that, I have the Spirit of God within me, the power that we saw demonstrated here today in prayer and in sharing. That's the Holy Spirit moving. That's what he's doing in our world today. He's alive and well on this planet Earth, and he's doing his work. So he's quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. Then he says this, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now, as we read that verse, it tells us something about what happened at salvation and what is happening even now. It says he has seated us in the heavenlies in Christ. In other words, that we have a position in the heavenlies. We are seated there even now. Right now, you and I are seated. You just think you're listening to me. You're really not listening to me. You're up in heaven, listening to him, hopefully. But positionally, you see, Jesus, because he stands outside of time, says, Mark, you're a done work. Jacinda, you're a done work. Scott, you're a done work. I've seen it all. I know where you end up. And it's good news. That's the gospel. That's the good news. I was dead, but now I'm alive. More alive than I will ever be or could have been without Christ. So positionally, we are already there. We simply need to know and understand that. When you falter, when you fall, when you fail, when you get caught up in sin, you need to know that that's an interruption. It grieves God's heart, but it does not change your position in Jesus, because it's his position. It's his work. He set us free. We're no longer under condemnation. We need to run to him in thankfulness and gratefulness for what he's done in our lives, because positionally he said it is finished, and that was true. From that moment forward, it rings true in our lives. So he set us there positionally already. So what's going on, Mark? Why am I still here? Because presently he is working out his salvation in you, in me. It is progressive. It is day by day change that happens in our lives. Think back about when you accepted Jesus. Think back about what you knew and understood about him at that moment in time. Not much. You might have had a little bit of knowledge if you were raised in the church, but really there was no personal intimate knowledge of Jesus Christ. But as we walk with him, that begins to change. As God surrounds us with his Holy Spirit, as he ministers to us from the one who teaches from the pulpit or in a study, Bible study, or as we interact with brothers and sisters outside of the church walls, that begins a process of setting us apart in Jesus. We call it sanctification. It's progressively changing us day by day. Every day, you are a little bit more like Jesus. We're going through that molding and shaping process, and that can be a difficult thing. Being conformed into the image of Jesus, major task for some of us, actually for all of us. But God is doing his work. He works in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. You know, I look back over my life and I see the various things that happened in my life. When I even question God, what is going on here? God, I don't understand. Why is this happening? Why is my world caving in? Why did that relationship fall apart? Why? And he says, don't worry. I have a plan. It's a good plan, and it's going to come to fruition. And as we trust him, he continues to guide and direct our steps. So amazing to see him do that. To go to prison, who would have ever thought? You know, someone would have said you needed to go to prison. But to, by choice, go to prison to minister to men and women who have lost their way in a big way and simply need to know that there's hope and forgiveness in Jesus at the foot of the cross. I remember the first time I went to prison, scared to death, probably mostly because I thought they might keep me. But, you know, as we're driving into the prison, we're in the van, and I'm in my head, I'm thinking, God, what have I done? Am I crazy? You know, you get out of the van and you hear slam as these doors slam behind you, you know, and now you're locked in. I said, okay, God, you're going to have to deal with this. I'm totally out of my element. And I get out of the van and we're walking towards the area where they're going to have, they have events that people come out and they bring people who are weightlifters or whatever, and that it draws the prisoners out. That's the premise. And then as they do that, then once that show is done, then they share the gospel. And then the people who have come, the counselors, have opportunity to share Jesus. And as I stepped out of the van and started walking toward that area, I was all by myself. I look up and here comes this black fellow. He was the only one out there just walking towards me. And so we came up, I greeted him, we began to talk, and it wasn't very long before he prayed to receive Christ. That was awesome. But it changed everything, right? I mean, it set me free from the fear that I had, from those things that I was worried about. And for those of you, by the way, who have thought about going to prison but are afraid to go to prison because you might not be able to meet the need, just know that you can't. You can't meet the need. But Jesus always shows up in those things. He shows up and you see people come to know Christ, and these prisoners, the tears running down their face as they're set free, even though they're in prison. It's an amazing thing. And so that day-by-day change that is happening, You know, the life you're living that God's unfolding in your world right now has a purpose. Every single thing in your life, every event has a purpose. Now, we may never know what that purpose is, but the truth is that he is doing his work because he promised that he would. That he would perform his work until the day of Jesus. All we have to do is show up. In other words, just get out of bed, okay? Which can sometimes be a challenge. We don't want to get out of it. Sometimes I'd just rather pull my covers over my head and just say it. I can't tell you the number of times I said, you know, honey, this would be a good day to just pull a cover over our heads and just stay in bed. And she said, it's Sunday. You can't. No. But the fact is, we just need to live our lives. And guys, for those of you who are type A, take a breath. Take a breath. God's going to unfold his plan in your life. No matter how fast you go, allow the journey to be a joy rather than a burden. I can make the journey a burden because I'm worried about what might happen here or what's going to happen there or what could happen here, rather than just saying, Lord, today is the day you've given me. It's a gift from your hands. Help me to live it for you. Whatever that means, help me to live it for you. Help me to speak Jesus into a life. Help me to just love somebody. You know, or to give them a touch, to let them know someone cares about them. I mean, there are people that just need to hear that there's someone that knows they exist. There are many people that do not have that assurance. They walk by untouched. And unfortunately, it can happen in the world, in the church. The doors open, people flock in, people flock out. It's a little harder here because it's smaller. But people will oftentimes go to a large church because they can do that. They're afraid of being touched. They're afraid of the vulnerability and the openness that it requires to be in relationship with other people. You know, the Bible is pretty clear. If you want to have a friend, be one. That's what the scripture tells us. We need to be friends to those who are in need. And as we do that, His work is done in us and through us. So we have this place positionally in him. We have our lives that are unfolding presently in him. And the good news is that he's coming again very soon. So not only do we have it positionally and presently, one day we're going to have it eternally. He is going to usher us into his very presence, even if it's through death's door. That's simply graduation for us. We're set free from this life. Will there be pain and grief behind us, left behind? Yes, because we love those that are close to us and we don't want to see them go. But we have that joy of knowing they've gone and we will see them again. I know I'm going to see my mom and dad again. I'm so thrilled about that. And one day I will see them again. And you can know that in your families as well, those that have gone before that knew Jesus. Eternity is our hope. We don't have to fear death. We've been set free from that. Am I looking forward to death? Well, I'm looking forward to being with Jesus. I kind of, like I've said many times before, enjoy this life. I enjoy hanging out with you. I enjoy doing the things of life day by day. But I know that one day my day is going to come. The generation before or after or before me is largely gone. Those that I held near and dear in the body of Christ and in my family, many of them are now gone. I'm the older generation and those like me. But it won't be very long before we're gone. But guess what? God's work won't stop. It'll continue on. He's going to do his work. He's going to raise up others. I love it when I see these kids serving the Lord, walking with him, doing works of service here in the fellowship, whatever it happens to be. That's so awesome because it says, you know what? God's doing his thing in their lives as well. And that's an encouragement. Never discourage children from being involved in ministry. They may not do it perfectly. They may not do it quickly. It doesn't matter. That's how they learn. Let them make mistakes. Let them be involved. You know, if they know Jesus, let them take communion for heaven's sake. I've had parents deny their children communion. I say, don't do that. Not if they know Jesus. If they prayed and invited Jesus into their life, they need to have the same blessing that we have of coming to the communion table. And we need to be sure that they know him. But if they know him, let them participate. Positionally, presently, eternally, it's a full package. Our God is an awesome God. And he does all things well. We heard it here this morning, and he will continue to do that. Let's purpose by prayer and fasting that we see God do great and mighty things, not only here, but around the world, around the world. He wants to do that. He wants to do that through you and through me. We just have to be willing to do it. We'll need to say, I don't know what it's going to entail, Lord. I don't know what, but I do know that where you guide, you will provide. I can trust you. I trust you to open the doors as you see fit. Help me to see with spiritual eyes, not physical. As we do that, he will be glorified. We will be blessed, as will all those with whom we come in contact. The Lord loves you guys with a deep and unchanging love, even as we saw there in Ephesians 2. And he's doing his work. Let's pray. Father, I'm so thankful this morning, Lord, for your Holy Spirit who speaks to our hearts, who guides us and directs us, Lord, who so often, Lord, you will redirect, Father. Your word says that man makes his plans, but you determine the outcome, Father, and we're so grateful for that. Thank you for this day. Thank you for the prayers that have been offered today in this place, Lord. They're effective, Father, as we pray in accordance with your will. We pray that healing would flow, Lord, in the lives of those who need it, that salvation would occur for those, Lord, who have yet to embrace Jesus or be embraced by him. I pray, Father, that you would comfort the hearts of those who are praying for loved ones that so desperately need to be born again. Help us, Lord, to be mindful to pray for one another as you bring each to mind. And Father, we'll be quick to give you all the praise and glory and honor. We want to live expectantly, Lord. We want to live expectantly. Help us to do that. We ask in the strong name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. God bless you.